Welcome to Innovation Philosophy Podcast. I'm Pat, your host, and today we're going to talk about strategical planning. So first we want to create a distinction between what a social enterprise is and a traditional business. So entrepreneurship in a traditional sense is a pursuit of opportunity. So regardless of resources that's currently available, with social entrepreneurship, the ones that are pursuing to create social enterprises, social businesses, according to Harvard Business School, it's the pursuit of an opportunity to create pattern-breaking social change regardless of the resources you currently control. So what does that mean? When you create a business, you have a product to sell, you have a service to sell, you have, like for example, a starting capital. So you start from the very basic. You create a business, create an offering. If you want to sell hamburgers or hot dogs, then that's the business idea. When you have a social enterprise, on the other hand, the business, the service, the offering is focused on creating a pattern-breaking social change. So if the main focus of the company is to foster social change, then that shifts the entire ethos and system and mechanism of how the company functions. That's why traditional businesses versus social enterprises are quite separate in a way, because even though they function as a trade type of entity, you sell something, they pay you for it, you sell something, they pay you for it, the end goals would be quite different. So now that we're able to differentiate the traditional business versus a social enterprise, we're going to go to the creation of the strategic planning for a social enterprise. Because even though the basic foundations would have to be quite similar, but because we're talking about differences in mission, in vision, and the goals, we have to approach social enterprises from a different perspective. So Harvard Business School has this so-called theory of change. So the rationale that connects the mission to strategy. So if, for example, your mission is to eliminate poverty, how do we connect that goal and goal to a definitive workable strategy? So that is what we're going to discuss. So with a mission, like for example, you want to end poverty, you have to make it more specific so we can go back and re-engineer a workable strategy. So based on your understanding of the problem, what is the theory and assumption that encapsulates it? So what causes the problem itself? So this is where we're going to look for solutions. So if, for example, we're talking about the poverty in Uganda, we're going to do some research. You have to do your own research on why that is the case for a specific region, why this is a specific problem for Uganda, and what were the existing solutions that exist in the market today. So you have to put all of those things into consideration so that you can create your own unique perspective, your own approach into problem solving. Because first and foremost, there are hundreds and thousands of nonprofit organizations, for-profit organizations that are already making a change out there, okay? So if we want to be able to create an impact as an individual, we're not talking about social entrepreneurship or social enterprise yet. The reason why we need to do these kinds of research is because we need to acknowledge the work that is in progress. The work that is in progress. So if we're passionate about something, the dolphins or poverty in Uganda, research about a specific organization that focuses on that social problem. So if there is an existing one and it provides all of the things that you're looking to achieve, then one option before we get started on, you know, creating a massive social enterprise from the beginning to the end, it is also a very, very smart investment, quote unquote, to join these organizations and help them with their missions. Okay, so you've seen different charities, you've done your research, and you think there's still a way that you could add value to the Ugandan people. You think there's still a gap in the market that doesn't satisfy the need for solving this social issue. So this is where we begin. This is where we begin. First, you have to understand what you want to offer. Okay, so it's parallel to making your own business. So do you want to sell hamburgers? Do you want to sell hot dogs? Do you want to teach? Do you want to sell cards? So it's from the very beginning, because social enterprises are also businesses. They are not charitable organizations, nor are they non-profit organizations. So social enterprises should be able to function like a business and profit like a business as well. So going back to the question, what do you want to sell? What do you want to sell first? And I want to put an emphasis for that, because you don't create a social enterprise, you don't create an impact around a community without knowing what you want to sell. Because business is just about trade, selling something of value and then getting something in return. So if you can create a sustainable business, then it would be very, very difficult to impact other people and the community that you want to target. So what do you want to sell? So do you want to sell clothes? Do you want to sell hamburgers? Do you want to sell, etc., etc.? When you have answered that question, now we go back to Uganda. Now we go back to Uganda. So if you want to sell clothes, are there specific resources in Uganda that you can incorporate in textile? Are there resources in Uganda that could be exported for the production of processed meat? Are there resources in Uganda that you can utilize for the product or service that you want to sell? So it's going back there. So before we move forward, okay, this is also how I want to differentiate social enterprises versus nonprofit organizations, because nonprofit organizations are not allowed to take profit, nonprofits. So they are not allowed to sell unless it's for a donation-based type of structure. And majority of nonprofit organizations rarely sell. They have a program which they run, and the donations empower their services, I mean, their programs. But when you go to social enterprise, you have to think like a business. You have to sell something so the profit empowers your mission. It's just a cycle like that, okay? So now that we've uncovered what we want to sell and research on how we can tie that in into the Ugandan community, we're going to go to creating a system. So let's get started with the formation of the social enterprise. We've got the service, we've got the product, we've got a way to connect it to the community that we want to help and serve. What's next? So we have to go back to mission and vision again, because this is the core of the social enterprise. Now that you have a product or service, now that you can connect it to a community, you have to create a vision. So who are the customers? How will you create a unique value of service to them? And what specifically does this product or service look like? And what is your criteria for success? And have you tested this vision or shared this vision with other people? Because remember, on the earlier part of the podcast, we talked about if there are existing organizations out there, I really encourage you, highly encourage you to join them, because they already have a system and structure that they've worked on and is currently implementing. Now, if we're talking about starting a new, filling in a market gap, then we create our own social enterprise, right? So go back to the vision, really, really understand what the product would look like, what the service would look like. But imagine, just on the percentages, how much would be circled back to the organization, how much would benefit, would circle back to the community, and how big an impact do you want to create? Okay, so if, for example, we're talking about textiles in Uganda, and aside from the raw resources in Uganda, you also want to employ local Ugandan workers, which is a very, very positive thing to do. So if that's the case, you know, how many people you want to impact? What are the types of wages and benefits that you can provide for the specific social enterprise's employees? And from the sourcing of the raw materials, how does the entire cycle go? Who do you affect? Do you impact farmers? What would be the increase in their annual profit if you partner with them, etc., etc.? So it's about thinking of the entire operation just as a vague idea of where you want to put things. Because first we've determined what we want to sell and how we can connect it to the community that we want to serve. Now we have to visualize and create and collaborate probably with your co-founders and team members, how you can create that kind of program, a circular program that provides sustainability for the social enterprise and impacts a lot of people that are connected with it. And then the next thing that we're going to talk about is the leadership, okay? Because the people who are in your team are going to create massive, massive impact on how the social enterprise is going to be run. So it's hiring for social enterprises is going to be quite delicate, because it's not just purely for business, right? It's not just purely for sales. We're not talking about just people who are good at marketing, people who are good at industrial operations, people who are good at design. So when we're hiring, especially in the leadership level, you want people who connect to your mission. You want people who have background, experience, and expertise in what you're doing so you can achieve your goal faster. And then, if possible, having a good network would also help you get the word out faster. So you have to balance your own expertise together with your team. Maybe you're better in accounting and finance. So get someone who would be able to manage the team and the growth better. So someone who's more on the leadership management role. Maybe you're not good at marketing, but someone is passionate about your project and would like to work with you on this social enterprise, who's great at marketing, who'd be able to create a brand for you, social enterprise ABC, and that is a perfect combination. There has to be a mix, because when we talk about starting a social enterprise, of course, it is possible, it's highly possible that you may not have all of the funds you need. So when hiring the leadership or pioneer team, you also have to be very, very careful of not only about passion. Passion is important, but we also need to make sure that they are capable to deliver results, because so we need to create a team composition that would help your social enterprise progress faster and gain a bigger momentum over a shorter period of time. Because when you're creating a social enterprise, right, it's not a traditional business in a sense. There are a lot of investors out there that are skeptical about social enterprises, because when you say social enterprise, there's a lot of passion in it. There's a lot of passion in it. And there is a big doubt if this social enterprise would work just like a charity that would just be asking people for money, or would it function as an efficient, successful business? So during the beginning stages, the founding stages, what you want are people who are passionate about the vision and mission, and also are capable to deliver. So not only will you be able to make mistakes faster, that you can adjust and test, you'd be able to grow together as a team and create a culture together. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is revenue model. Since social enterprises are also businesses, we have to factor in the numbers. We have to put the balance sheet and the part of the planning so we can measure our success, right? So you factor in the cost of the raw materials, you factor in the cost of the wages, the distribution, and advertising, marketing. So how are you going to create a pricing point for your product or service? So clothing line from Uganda, made in Uganda, how are we going to market that? Do you have a target for luxury customers? Do you have a target for middle range customers? Or it's a very affordable product for everyone. So you have to be able to create that kind of cash flow projection, probably 3 to 5 year pro forma, and be able to determine, you know, the kind of growth rate that you want to achieve. So we also factor in how much capital do we need. If it's a manufacturing type of business, textile, clothing line, it could be much more expensive. What type of resources do you need? Do you currently have that capital? Or do you need to create a crowdfunding for it, or do you need a seed capital? Who are the people that you can approach for these capital sources? How are you going to spend it? What are the priorities that you want? And what is the burn rate? Burn rate is very, very important, because so many startups have failed because they fail to anticipate the spending over the incoming of the profit. So burn rate, yes. And then you also have, because we talked about 3 to 5 year projections, right? At the earlier part of the podcast, I talked about creating a cycle for the social enterprise. So even though it's structured as a business, since it's a social enterprise, even though the business profits, right, there is still a core mission to serve a community or a cause. So if we do not circulate the profit back, we won't be able to grow and scale the organization, right? So within our projections, we have to understand how many percentage of that per year, per quarter is going back to funding the organization again and again. So you can improve your scale. If before you can only buy from a couple of local producers, you can buy a lot more now. If before your local workers are just about 10 people, you can employ 50 now, and with the higher ranges of salary. So create your own growth within that cycle of funding. So yes, there's a profit, there's for everyone, and an impact for the people around it, for the community. But we have to understand that social enterprises should be able to sustain themselves in the long run, because it also attracts more people to invest in you. Okay, so that's it. That's the part for the finance, but we also need to talk about the last part, which is the growth and scaling. So what we need to understand is there are also risks in creating a social enterprise, like the ecosystem. Are you planning to create a business outside your country of residence? What are the political risks for that? Do they have different regulations that you need to know about? What are the legal stances for creating a company in this country, for example? So you have to know what the ecosystem feels like and your target market. You have to know them better than anyone else. Because if you're trying to sell, for example, very, very affordable clothing line that's organic, eco-friendly, and you want to distribute it internationally, that's made in Uganda, you have to understand, talking about the team again, you need to have people who are more knowledgeable about the e-commerce, the fashion industry, etc., etc. So understand the ecosystem that you're coming into and the risks that come along with it. So if you can prepare for the risk, there's a better chance that you can survive it. The next part would have to be, yes, growing and scaling, right? So of course, when we create a social enterprise, the main goal for majority of social enterprises that I know is to impact as many people as possible. You don't create a social enterprise just to help just one family. So you create a social enterprise to create a sustainable lifestyle for the people you want to help, a sustainable change as well. So that this issue that we're trying to solve would hopefully lessen, if not completely be eradicated. So when you talk about growth and scaling, you need to understand and go back to basics. Okay, right? So look at a 12-month, 24-month term of the social enterprise you started before, for example, to lessen the poverty in Uganda by creating a sustainable workforce for the community and incorporating fashion exports into that. So when you want to scale, you want to go back to the basics. It's kind of ironic though, right? Because growing means moving forward or moving upward. But when it comes to strategizing for scaling, it has to go back to the basics. So from the very beginning, because you need to understand what is working within the organization, what is the impact of the organization on its customers, on the people who buy it, the product, and the people within the community that you're trying to impact. So once you've understood that, just like the way you found a gap in the market that did not previously serve the community that you want to focus on, you will be able to find those loopholes within your organization. There will always be one. Because if we are going to be a perfect organization, then there's no room for growth. So you need to be able to find that kind of loophole and improve upon that. One thing I highly suggest, like for example, when we're doing business and marketing architecture in one of my agency's plexus in the US. So what we do, yeah, it's the same thing. We go back to the basics. We understand what worked before, what did not work, and try to improve upon the little gaps that are there. But having founded multiple startups of my own and currently creating a social enterprise structure in the Philippines, one of the biggest ally in growth, innovation, and scaling is technology. In any team, in any business, especially if you have scarce resources, you have to put technology in the middle, because that's the automation, the ease of communication, the transaction, the reporting, the analysis, the feedback, and the entire cycle, the training. If you put that into a very reliable agency, you eliminate other processes that would take so much time. And if you have technology, it would also tie you into data. So I'm very passionate about data science. So if you have that data in front of you, it's the same thing as looking at a financial statement. What is your cash flow? What is your profit for this year? Did we make profit or a loss? So we have to go back to basics and really study and find, actively find what has not been working. So if, for example, a textile company, it has been generating sales for the 12-24 month period, but it's not as big as you want it to be, then there is a loophole. Definitely there is a loophole in there. There could be a mismanagement in financial resources, you're investing in the wrong things. There could be so many people, website design, for example, people are not encouraged to buy more, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but those are technical, it's not little though, it's technical things that you have to pinpoint and find during this process of scaling and growth strategy creation. But the bottom line of it is scaling and innovation would always have to tie into technology. So, like, for example, automation, you've grown your company and you want the e-commerce platform to grow, you put in a very reliable e-commerce automation platform or e-commerce AI, which we also have at Plexus. Sorry for the promotion, but yeah. So you invest in technological platforms that would empower not only your workforce, right, but also the entire social business. So it's the same thing when the industrial age came in, when people used to fold, et cetera, like in the industry line. They created machines to do those things, and it made the operation faster. So if you want to create a more efficient business flow and you want to plan and strategize for innovation, then put the machines, put the technology needed in between the people and the end results. So it's not necessarily that you're taking jobs from people. I believe that it's highly possible that in a couple of years, that's a different topic, but we're just gonna tap on it a little bit. That there are jobs that will not be existent within the next decade or so, but that doesn't mean that people won't have jobs. It just means that the definition of our job functions would differ now. And it would be very, very helpful, especially for people, because there's a much clearer overview on what you want to achieve. Instead of just one person picking on one button at a time, this person can look at the overall design and inspect loose ends that the machine did not tackle or were not able to cover. So that goes the same way with technology. Put clear communication processes within your company, whether it's a social enterprise, whether it's a traditional business, whether it's small, medium to massive enterprise. Communication within the team, communication within the customers is always a priority. Create incorporate a technology, a software, a hardware for that function. So use automation, even though it's a small type of automation, big type of automation, there are so many resources that we can now use to utilize technology in the middle of our growth and scaling strategy.